Give Jesus a great hand. Come on, give Jesus a great hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you, before you're seated, look at the person beside you and tell them you're going to get it today. Amen. You may be seated. I did that in Canada a while ago, and the lady said, "What are we going to get?" I said, "Whatever you need. He's in the house today. Thank you, Lord. And if you need a healing, you don't have to wait for tonight. He's here today. You can do whatever you need. If you're hungry and thirsty, you shall be filled." Amen. Well, it's great to be here. It's great to be home. We got here for last Sunday, and we are Canadians. But this is our home. We spend the winter here, hallelujah. And we weren't excited about getting to Naples. We're excited about getting to Destiny. This is our family, and it's a little weird, you know, Canadians, but this is our family. And so when we came here, we knew we were home. We feel so connected. And I shared with Pastor Greg the other day, it's just an extreme honor to be asked to fill the pulpit. I don't take it lightly. He is probably our favorite preacher. We love the guy to preach. And everything's going to be okay. He'll be back next Sunday, and everything will be good. So just hang in there. But, you know, I caught a bit of it this morning from South Africa. My goodness, he dressed in a suit, shirt, and tie. And I wouldn't say he was sweating, but he was perspiring quite a bit. preaching up a storm. And the exciting thing is, what God's doing here, unfortunately, is unique. It shouldn't be, but it is unique, what God is doing in this place. And it's too good to not share. It's too good to keep to ourselves. So, you know, when he and Bobby are in South Africa ministering, we're there with them. He's taking what God's doing here in Destiny and carrying it to the nations. And you understand that will be happening once in a while. It has to happen, and we have to share that, so thank God. Looking forward to tonight for a healing service. This is a very special time. We've been in healing ministry now since 1972, but what's happened the last few months even, and I think it's happening around the world, there's an increase of anointing and miracles and signs and wonders. And I've just been standing in awe, watching God do notable miracles. Tonight's service will be streamed live on online. So if you have friends in other places, let them know. And if you're watching online, we love you, and you're going to receive today. But to 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you people get healed online. So just get ready. Get ready. I want to talk to you about faith. This morning and tonight, I want to talk to you about faith. And of course, the scripture is from Hebrews 11. We call that the faith chapter. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It starts with faith is. Anything to do with God is always now. You know, a lot of people feel, well, if I'd lived back then, I could have. If I have to wait for something, you don't have to wait for anything. You don't have to live in regrets. God is a God of the now. He's eternal. So there's no time. So whatever he ever did, whatever he ever will do, he can and wants to do now. Whatever he's doing anywhere in the world for anybody, he can and wants to do for you. Faith is. And faith is his substance. Faith isn't just pretend. It's not just something, you know, made up. Faith is substance, and it's a substance of things hoped for. There's a reason that the enemy has done everything he can to sap people of hope. I have noticed across America, across Canada, Christians have lost hope. You know, they've lost hope in politicians, they've lost hope in leaders, they've been disappointed, and they just lost. So when you talk to them about healing and breakthrough and miracles and revival and great awakening in the nation, they just kind of glaze over like, yeah, heard that before. Because if the enemy can steal your hope, then he saps your faith. You know, over the years, I'd ask people come to the services when they received healing and miracles. I said, did you expect this? Because miracles happen where they're expected. That's why we create an atmosphere of expectation. And our job as ministry is really to build people's hopes up. That Jesus did that when he had the disciples or have them sit down in groups of 50, anticipating to receive. The disciples did that when they looked at the man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3. He looked at them expecting to receive. And so people would say, if I asked them, did you expect? Well, I was hoping. And for a long time, I thought, well, that's nothing. You got to have faith. But you can't have faith without hope. You can't have faith without hope. And Jesus asked the question, when I return, will I find any faith left on the earth? I find that a scary question. Like, you know, some people say, well, does that mean there's going to be no Christians? There's lots of Christians. He didn't say that. He said, will I find any people with faith? There's a lot of Christians who don't have faith. And you say, well, you can't be a Christian without faith. Well, he said to his disciples, how come you have no faith? They were followers of Jesus. They were, you know, committed to him and following him. And yet, he said, how come you don't have any faith? It's faith people that change history. It's faith people that do great things. James chapter 5 talks about this thing called the prayer of faith. And it asks the question, is there anybody sick? I love this. It's so all-inclusive. You know, some people say, well, you know, God heals some people, but not others. This is all inclusive. As salvation is for whosoever comes, healing is for everyone too. I mean, it's God's will to heal everybody. And you might say, well, everybody's not healed. Well, it's God's will to save everybody, and they're not saved yet, but we continue to believe. We believe the word. We don't change what we believe based on what happens to people. And so he said, is there anybody sick? Let him call for the elders and do exactly what happened this morning. They anoint with oil, lay hands on them, pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, this is something because, you know, what it's saying is, if you pray the prayer of faith, you're going to get results. So then the conclusion has to be that many of the prayers we prayed aren't prayers of faith. And so then people try to complicate it. You know, well, I just don't know how to do that. Like, this whole thing is so simple. Religious people try to complicate things. Like, some people out there feel, I'd like to be part of this. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven, but it's so complicated. I could never attain. And people do that with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's so hard to receive. And they do that with healing. And well, it's so hard. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's so simple. Jesus said we have to become like little children. Now, we are so blessed. I should give a warning here. We have four kids, and they're all married. Hallelujah. And they have kids, and their kids are growing up and getting married. So we have 12 grandchildren. We are expecting our 10th great-grandchild, which is so much fun. But the warning is, this Christmas time, we've got at least 30 of them coming here to be with us for Christmas. Because I've said over the years, you know, well, because people say, well, you're going to go home for Christmas. No, if our kids love us, they'll come. Well, wow. Now, I got to tell you, we do ministry in the Arctic. If I was in the Arctic for Christmas, they'd say, we're praying for you, Pops. Yeah, but Naples. Because we're celebrating, I won't tell you how old Gwen is, but we're both celebrating our birthdays, and we're the same age. I'm going to be 75, so I would never tell you a lady's age. So they just decide they're going to come celebrate our birthdays and our 55th anniversary and some other stuff. And then to top it all off, our one grandson decided he's going to get married while he's down here to his fiance on the beach day after Christmas. So I said, all I want for Christmas, all I want for our birthday presents is for all of them to come to church with us here at Destiny. So I think there'll probably be an extra There'll probably be an extra service at it. You know, I'm doing my best to help build the church here, okay? I mean, I just, because I know they'll all be touched. But our little great-granddaughter, Jackie, she's amazing. She just turned 6. And kids simplify things. So that, you know, they're in church, and our granddaughter, her mother, asked her afterwards, well, what was the story today? What was your lesson? It was about the Good Samaritan. So, well, tell me about it. So little Jackie just tells the whole story. You know, how this guy was going and traveling, and he was beaten up and by the side of the road and robbed and took everything. And then, you know, these guys walked by, and she described them, and they went on the other side, and then the Samaritan comes. And so she tells the whole story, and then Rachel says, her granddaughter says to her, well, what was the lesson? What did you learn? Don't let people take your stuff. Brilliant. That would have solved everything. I mean, it would have. See, kids don't complicate things. And Jesus said, you got to become as little children. Like, the prayer of faith is not difficult. The prayer of faith is simply asking God to do what he's promised. God is accountable to his word. He's not a man that he should lie. So when you're praying for the sick, you can remind God, you promised that if we lay hands on the sick shall recover. You promised if any two agree is touching anything on earth, it shall be done. You see, when many people pray for somebody to get healed, they give God a medical report. God, this person is this, and the doctors did this, and did this. And what you do is you're sapping the person of faith. And you're sapping yourself of faith. Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great healing evangelist in England years ago, said you'll never pray the prayer of faith if you're focusing in on the problem. That intimidates you, and you're magnifying the works of the enemy when we're supposed to magnify the works of God. Rather than talk about how big the problem is, we should be talking about how big God is. Rather than telling God about the mountain, we should be telling the mountain about our God. Our God's a big God. He's a good God, and he's a great God. And some faith people are just people that say, I'm just asking you to do what you promised to do. And God answers prayer. Now, faith people are different because they know the word. You know, some people say, well, I don't have time. I love Jesus, but I don't have time for the word. You can't love Jesus without loving the word. He is the word. You fall in love with Jesus, you're going to fall in love with the word. This book is alive, and it'll speak to you, and it'll give you life. And faith people, they think different than other people. They live in this world, but they think totally different than other people. You know, the challenge is that many people in the church who have given their lives to Christ still think like they used to think. The problem with God had with the people that he brought out of Egypt was not getting them out of Egypt. That was easy. But getting Egypt out of them, that was a challenge. They still thought they were slaves. They still thought they were grasshoppers. When they served a God who was, I mean, doing the miraculous for them all of the time. Faith people think different. The Bible says if there's any praise, if there's any good report, if there's anything pure and lovely, think about these things. Faith people think about the praise things and the good report things. Now, have you noticed the enemy tries to get you to focus on the bad things, on the negative things? I mean, you could get, you know, 10 texts during a day from 10 different people, and 9 of them are telling them, you're amazing. Just love you. And then one text is just tearing you to pieces. And many people start dwelling and thinking about that and saying, everybody hates me. What's the point? Might as well quit. Like, are you kidding? Why would we do that? David, who messed up, like all of us, said, I've learned something. When I lie down at night in my bed, I'm not going to think about all the other stuff. I'm going to think, not think bad, that I'm going to think about you. I will meditate on you. I will think about you. And when I wake up in the morning, I think two very vulnerable times in many people's lives. When you lay down at night in bed, when you wake up in the morning, the enemy bombards you with thoughts of sin and evil and bad things and negative things. You wake up in the morning and the devil just starts loading you with what's going to happen and how bad it's going to be. Bible says, don't entertain those things. You know, someone said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your head. Like, really? You work at this. Faith people work at it. And they're thinking positive things. And you say, was this positive thinking? Yes, it is. That's what the Bible tells us to do. It's far better than thinking negatively. Absolutely. Because when you think of the good things and the praise things, guess what? You get encouraged. When you think of the awful things, you get discouraged. You want to quit. You get tired. But when you start thinking of what God has done, and you start thinking, you know, God hasn't brought me this far. God hasn't answered this many prayers. God hasn't done this many miracles to let me fizzle out now. Devil, you're a liar. And you just feel something rising up on the inside. When you start thinking the way God wants you to think, you just start feeling something inside. You just want to kick the ugly devil's face. Come on. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be good. Faith people talk different. They talk different. You can tell if a person's a person of faith by just the way they talk. Some people, like I've got some friends, God bless them, who are the most negative people in the world. They're Christians. And they're so negative. I told one, you've got a gift. Like, I look and I think there is absolutely nothing they could find to complain about, and they do. They find something. If they have to make something up, I say, are you kidding me? And then at the end they say, and I don't have any friends. Nobody wants to be with, well, who would want to be around? When you start talking like faith, let me tell you something, you attract people. People like to be around you because you encourage them. The Bible says the fruit of our lips should produce praise. In other words, when we speak, we're putting seeds into somebody else's life that can come forth in praise. We should be producing praise not just in our life, but in their life. So faith people think different, talk different, but they live different. See, our words are so important. Our words are so important. Several years ago, God told me, as with spring, summer, fall, we travel all over the country and preach and minister in Canada and believing for Canada, our country, to have a great awakening. And then when I come down here, I join you in believing for America. And it's a lot of encouraging things happening. But God said, when you're traveling and you go to each province, which is similar to state, go to the capital and stand on the steps of the government buildings and speak life and blessing over the government and over the province. So we did, and Stephen, who now leads our ministry, he and I, first place was out far west, out in British Columbia, and the capital is in Victoria, which is on Vancouver Island. Very beautiful place. So we were there standing on the steps, and we're just decreeing faith and blessing and life over the province. And I thought, this looks so stupid. Like, it's just two guys speaking words. And I felt the Spirit of God say, you know, it actually looked pretty stupid when Ezekiel stood looking over a valley of dead, dry bones that were parched. But somebody had to speak life and somebody had to speak blessing, because when faith people do under the anointing of God, you set something in motion. You set miracles in motion. It's important how we talk, but it's also important how we live. Faith people live differently than other people. I think you know that your relatives and your friends that probably think you're crazy don't really watch you the day you get the promotion, the day you move into a new house, and they, you know, when everything's going good. They watch you. They get out the microscope when you lose your job, when the doctor gives a bad report, when disaster comes. Will they react and act the same way as we do? A lot of Christians do. But faith people live different because they know something. They know it's not over till we win. John chapter 1, verse 11 says he came to his own. Jesus came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, the sons of God, to those who believe in his name. In other words, there were a lot of people, but then there were some who believed in his name. I mean, everybody could say, well, we believe in Jesus. We saw him. We watched the miracles. But then there was that certain group that were believers, believed in him enough to leave everything, to follow him. And the question has to be today, where are the believers? Where are the faith people? Believe, yeah, faith people, they're happy people because, first of all, they believe the word. They read the word and they actually believe it. They believe it's not just words, they believe it. And they put it inside of them. And so if you ask a faith person, where is Jesus? You see, I grew up in church, not a church like this. A church where I figured there was a God, but he was so far way out there running a universe that he was too busy. So we're on our own. I grew up believing that. I knew the stories, but then I met him. And then an encounter with him, it changed everything. And I went from, you know, having religion to having a relationship. But if you ask faith people, where is Jesus? They'll smile and say, oh, I know where he is. And I know what he's doing. Because they believe the word. They believe that when Jesus ascended, he spent a certain amount of days here, 50 days here. And then he resurrected. Then he spent 50 days. And then he ascended. And when he ascended, he went to heaven. So a faith person will say, Jesus is in heaven. But I'll tell you what he's doing in heaven. He's there on assignment. He's sitting right beside the Father, and he's praying for me. A faith person actually believes that Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand, talking to Father night and day about them. You say, well, he can't do that for everybody. Oh, yes, he can. He can do anything. We'll never figure out God or understand God, but a faith person believes that. Now, you know, we spent some yesterday afternoon at the hospital. Zach and Kristen had a crisis. She had a physical scare and was taken to the hospital. And of course, it's easy to figure out because, you know, Zach was out at Walmart the night before seeing people saved and healed. And the devil hates that. So if you don't want spiritual warfare, don't do anything. Because the devil will leave you alone. But the moment you start doing something, that all hell comes and says, you know, we need to distract them. So they're at the hospital, and we went, and they were overwhelmed at the support from this family. I mean, you know, Tim had a busload ready to come over and fill the whole emergency ward, which would have been really well received, I'm sure, at the hospital. And we said, you know, that really isn't necessary, but just knowing that made him. And Johnny came in and prayed with them, and then Pastor Bobby called from South Africa and prayed with her, and Jean called and see if, you know, if she's still in the hospital, I'll go. And they were overwhelmed. It's really encouraging when other people care and pray. But let me tell you something. Faith people, they believe that, but they go one step farther. They not only believe that pastors praying and elders are praying and friends are praying, they believe Jesus is praying for them. And let me tell you, if you get that, you're how could you possibly be thinking of not making it? How could you possibly be thinking of giving up? How could you possibly think you're not going to get healed or breakthrough? It may not come when you want or think you want or how you want, but Jesus is praying for you. Faith people are pretty encouraged. But they go farther than that. Faith people believe. It's not just a doctrine. It's not just something they believe in their head. They actually believe that God made the decision. And as crazy as it seems, that he wouldn't dwell in buildings anymore, but that he would take our bodies. Come on, our bodies. Like, you know you. If you were God, would you say, I want to live in their body? No. I know me. I think, God, that really doesn't seem like a great idea. He didn't ask us. He said, your bodies are going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to live inside of you. So a faith person, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the bank account says, no matter what their marriage partner says, their kids say, their grandkids, they say, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. All the power of the Godhead is living inside of me. A faith person will say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God inside. If the river of God's going to flow in Naples, guess what? Not going to come from there or there. Out of your belly shall flow the rivers of living water. And then faith people, they actually believe, Psalm 91, that God assigns angels to surround you, to take care of you. The Bible says when Jesus returns, the archangel is going to shout, trumpet is going to sound. I guarantee you, some of your angels are going to shout, thank God they made it. You've kept them really busy. Like, you've kept them really busy. I mean, they're there to help you, protect you. They go with you. I've heard preachers say, yeah, they're with you, but if you go past the speed limit, you're going to leave your angels behind. Well, I can't find that in the verse. I actually, just to prove it, I tried it. Try it. I went really fast, and my angel stayed right with me. Angel said, we can keep right up with you. You know, just once, or twice, or a few times. But I tried it. And that's not scriptural. Angels are with you. They're assigned to you. They're with you all the time. I've actually seen, you think I'm weird now. Let me tell you this. I've seen two of my angels. In the Arctic, I had this experience in God. I saw two of my angels. They're so big. They're so powerful. They're with me all the time. Like, that's pretty encouraging. And then what I saw was, you know, I've had meetings where, you know, crowds have been very small, so the preacher tries to encourage everybody by saying, well, there's an angel on every chair. Well, we don't want angels on chairs. They can stand, they can fly, they can float. We want people on chairs, you know. But what I saw was from floor to ceiling and beyond, there wasn't any gap without an angel. They were in and over and under. I mean, they were just, you couldn't, it was just covered with angels. And wall to wall, this place is filled with angels. There's healing angels. There's ministering angels. They're all over the place. They're busy. They're doing things. And when you get to heaven, you might say, well, you know, the angel's never done anything for me. When you get to heaven, I think you're going to say, wow, they saved me from death. They saved me from accidents. They protected me. They did. It's amazing. You're making a testimony and you're keeping them busy. Faith people believe Jesus is praying for them. They believe that God Almighty, through the Holy Spirit, is living inside of them, and angels are surrounding them. But people say, well, I do have faith, but I'm just struggling with fear. Mm-mm, doesn't mix. You're a faith person or a fear person. And Jesus said to his disciples, why are you so fearful? How come you have no faith? Like, if you really get a hold of this, fear will have no place. You just raise a hallelujah against fear, and it goes. It absolutely goes. You say, well, I don't have much faith. We're going to talk about that tonight, but faith, as Jesus said, as small as a grain of mustard seed. You can have just a tiny little faith. You can move mountains. You can change history. You can do anything. And he says, Isaiah 43 says, don't fear, because I've redeemed you. I bought you. You're mine. He says, I've called you by name, and you're mine. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. I want you to note that when you go through waters and troubles, it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. He doesn't say if, he says when. But he also says you'll go through. You're not staying there. And he says, when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. He said, you have no reason to fear, because I'm with you. If God's with you, who can be against you? And if they are, what difference does it make? And some of you may feel, and we've all been there, you know, the water level's rising. And finally, you're on your tiptoes. You may just have your nose sticking up, but you're not going to drown. You can still breathe because you've got a destiny and he's promised you. If you go through the waters, they're not going to overflow you, but you will go through them. And when you walk through the fire, and you will, you're not going to be burned, and nor shall the flame scorch you. Yeah, I was telling him in the first service, years ago, we had a young lady that was employed by the ministry, and she came with some good recommendations and that, but turned out that she had what in this day we call a number of major issues. We've got so many nice words now, you know, and so she needed ministry, but she was hired to be my personal secretary and take care of things, and she wasn't able to because of her issues. So we decided we couldn't fire her, but we were going to release her. It's the same thing, but it sounds so much better. And we were three times in Russia, Arctic Russia, I've been arrested. But the authorities always tell me, no, you're not arrested, you're detained. They are unable to explain the difference, because when they detain you, it's like you're under arrest. And you're looking at me as if I'm a criminal. Look at this godly woman down here. She's been detained too, by the way. And thankfully, she speaks in the Holy Ghost and prays in the Holy Ghost, and there's no authority that can stop that. But so this young lady was being released, and Gwen's brother was on our team at that time, and he managed everything in the ministry. So he met with her and did the stuff. And then I was to meet with her afterwards just to pray with her, encourage her. So she came into my office, and this timid little girl pounded my desk and yelled. And she said, "It's not fair! It's not fair!" And I expected her to say, "It's not fair that I've been released." And I said, what do you think's not fair? "That I have so many problems and you don't have any." Well, I had one problem, and we were releasing that problem. And so I was going to be fine soon. But I looked at her and I said, "You can't say that." Like, you come in this morning and you watch people worshiping and they're up the front and they're praising and they look good, and you think you're the only one. And the devil tells you that. Nobody understands you because you're the only one. I guarantee you that every person in this room is going through something. And you have no idea. But they know they're going through. So they can react and they can praise and they can be positive, and because they believe, they know how it's going to end. And they'd like it to end now, but they know it's going to end and they know it's going to be victorious. But so everybody goes through stuff. But the fact is, if you're a faith person, you say, I'm not stopping here. I'm going through. Bible says, where do you put your trust? He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It's so hard not to lean on our own understanding, but we're not very smart. So if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, it's going to be better. And the question has to be, where is your faith? The Bible says some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord. Where's your trust? A lot of Christians put their trust in investments, pensions, salaries, their employer, maybe not the government, but maybe some still do, I don't know. Well, a lot do, where they're, you know, they check every month or whatever. And it's not good. We were in Israel years ago and woke up early Sunday morning, and there's a lot of commotion out the street. And I love Israel. I love the people there. The Jewish people, the Arab people, they're great. I doubt if many have ulcers or anything else because they don't hold anything in. Anything happens, they get it out. They yell. They yell at everybody. They yell at themselves. They yell at each other. It's wonderful. And we just hold it all in, and then it explodes. And you know, it gets messy. But so I went downstairs to see what's going on, because they were out in the street yelling. Overnight, during the night, while we were sleeping, this was Saturday night, now it's Sunday morning, the government had devalued their currency by 50%. Even though the government had promised they'd never do it. They'd been meeting an emergency cabinet meeting and determined, because of a crisis in their economy, they had no other route to go. At the same time, they increased the price of many essential things. To put it, you know, in our language, I mean, if you had $1,000 in the bank Saturday night, you had $500. Now, some people in Israel said they would never do it. In fact, the government said they would. And some people said they can't do that. But they did it. So if you had your faith and your trust in your finances and your savings, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because all of us. I went to visit my friend who owned the tour company that we worked with in those days, and he was very rich. And he had called all his accountants in, and they were there calculating how much money he had lost overnight. Because the more money you've got, the more money you lose. It's a great time to be really poor. If you have got $10 in the bank, hey, I lost $5 last night. You know what I mean? But if you've got millions, then it's... So where's your trust? Some trust in the medical system. And here it is, like, you can't, we live in this world with systems. And so I'm not saying you don't have investments. I'm not saying you don't have pensions. I'm not saying that. And I'm surely not saying you don't go the medical route. God uses doctors. God uses procedures. It's amazing what they can do. But I'm telling you, more and more doctors are looking at people saying there's nothing we can do. And I love it when people hear the words from their doctors saying, well, there's absolutely nothing that can be done. Because when they say that, then they've got to give God the credit when their people get healed. And I say, go to the doctors, have it documented, so then we know what we're dealing with, and then go back to the doctors after you're healed and get them to confirm your healing. Not a lack of faith. God uses them. But don't put your trust in them. Our trust is in God. What was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I've got the anointing of Pastor Greg. Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago? I don't know. Like, Bobby, what was it? And it was a few years ago. I was here, and I ended up in the hospital with a heart condition, and the doctors felt that there was a good possibility that I was going to die. And I told every doctor, and then finally, you know, they flew me home to Canada, and the doctors there, I told every doctor, I just value you. You're giving me the best care, and I had confidence in them. The doctors here and the heart unit here was amazing. But I said, so, and so whatever they, you know, were recommending, I said, do it, you know. But I said, I've also got an army of people praying around the world. And that's a great combination. You don't have to either or. But the question is, where do you put your trust? Where's your faith? We trust in the Lord. Now, New Testament believers didn't talk about faith. They just did it. They just lived it. I mean, they didn't go to seminars about faith. They didn't read books about faith or conferences. They just did it. And here's the key. And let me wrap up with this. And I'll wrap up three more times. So, because I just love wrapping up. But here's the key. Here's the key to the, if we can learn their secret, we can be like them. And then we can do what they did. They turned the world upside down. Ordinary believers. And if we're going to do what they did, we'll have to have what they have, the fire of God. And so we'll pray for that. But first thing Jesus did, he launched his ministry, actually, seemed unintentionally, by going to a wedding party in Cana. He went there with his disciples to attend this wedding party. And his mother, Mary, comes to him and says, "Son, there's a problem. There's a crisis. They've run out of wine." Now, I love moms. I mean, mothers are great. My mother went to heaven years ago, as Gwen's mother did. And so I had a lot of ladies that rose up, said, "No, we're going to be your mother." And that really didn't work. So I think Gwen, God bless her, tried to, you know, be what I needed as a mother, but that didn't work. We were talking to a friend in Ottawa, my oldest daughter and I, and I said something to our friend that, our oldest daughter, she's like my mom. She's like my mother. She acts like my mother. And our friend laughed. And so our daughter Meg said, no, serious, I am. Every Mother's Day, I give our oldest daughter flowers and a Mother's Day card and say, thank you for being my mother. I don't handle my schedule. I tried, that'd be a disaster. I don't handle anything. I mean, she handles my life. And she said, let me explain to you. You know, my mother gave up on him years ago, so I have had to step up and be his mother now. And she takes care of everything. And so I love mothers, but I love Jewish mothers because they've got that chutzpah. Yeah, I mean, they just... So Mary comes to Jesus and says there's a crisis. And it's like he says, Mom, it's got nothing to do with me. Like, this is not my business. I'm just here as a guest. Like, and it's, now mothers can give you a look. And when a mother gives you a look, you know. And she just looks at them. And then mothers have a great way of just doing what needs to be done without you. She turns and says to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And then turns, and I think, smile. And it's not in scripture, but I kind of hear him, either audibly or under his breath, oh, Mom. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. This would become the platform of their life and ministry. Because the challenge is, when he tells you to do something, it normally doesn't make any sense. So he looks at them and says, okay, fill the pots with water. Why? Like, no, it's wine. You're out of, fill them with water. We had the privilege of spending an afternoon with Oral Roberts just a couple of days before he fell, went in the hospital and died in his home. And he said something really, he said a lot of things, but one of the things he says, I've never asked God why. What I find, when God tells me to do something and I say why, he doesn't answer. Faith is trusting when it doesn't make sense and you don't understand it. So that became the thing. I mean, the water turned into wine and, you know, story. So then that became their platform. I mean, they're out in the sea in a boat because he made them go, and they're in the storm, and he comes walking on the water. And they're afraid. And he said, don't be afraid, it's me. Okay. Normal people would say, if it's you, come over, get in the boat and help us. But I'm not talking about normal people. Normal people don't change history. Normal people will not save America. Normal people won't bring revival. Normal people don't think like faith people, because there's one guy in the boat. Amen. One who says, oh, if it's really you, tell me to come. Peter was smart enough to know he could not walk on water unless whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you tell me, I can do it. So I think Jesus laughed. One word, come. He walked on water. But he walked on a word, come. Whatever he tells you to do, come. The others didn't come. The others believed in Jesus, but they didn't act on that word. And okay, somebody was saying, yeah, but it didn't turn out so well. He sunk. Can I just suggest, until you do what he did, like he got out of the boat and walked out, until you've done that, I think we should just be quiet. Like, how can we criticize? Like, have you ever stepped in a boat and walked on water? No. And here's the great thing. When he did start sinking, because he got his eyes off Jesus, Jesus didn't have, and he said, help. Jesus didn't have to run over and grab him and rescue him and give him mouth to mouth or any of that. Jesus, Bible says, stretched out his hand. He was right beside Jesus. If you're going to go start sinking, being close to Jesus is a pretty good place to be. I mean, you don't lose when you obey. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And then there's, this is the last one. I'm going to wrap up with this again. The disciples were fishermen. This was their business. And they'd fished all night and got nothing. And so now they're tired. Now they're cleaning their nets on the shore. And they're going to go home to bed. And Jesus comes walking up. How many know that Jesus can mess up your plans? They think they know. They've got their thing planned. Just finish this. Soon be home. Going to be in bed. Going to have a night's sleep, you know. And tomorrow night, maybe we'll try again. And Jesus said, so how's it going? Well, I didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, go out again. And put your nets down on the other side of the boat. Now, let me just brag about my fishing skills. I have none. And I'm proud of it. Like, I know many of you are fishermen. And thank you. Like, I like fish. So I go to a nice restaurant and order fish. And somebody catches it, cleans it, cooks it, brings it. Why would I go out and do that? We went out fishing once. I was kind of pressured into it. Gwen went with me. Our son, his kids went with us. So we all go there, you know, and they go way out and you're fishing. And there's a captain, and you pay money for this, of course. And there's a captain and his mate. And he says, like, here's the bait. If you want help, just yell bait, and we'll put it on for you. Otherwise, just bait yourself. And if you catch a fish, you don't want to take it off your hook, just yell fish. And one of us will come and take it off. Brilliant. So every time I needed bait, I'd say, bait. And they'd come put it on. And the beautiful lady beside me would say, pill, for goodness sake. Because she's putting the bait on and she's taking the fish off. Hers, you see. But first of all, like, I don't want to rob them of a blessing. And this is giving them purpose. I mean, they want to do this. They love to, and they're very good at it. And I just got to say, when we got in the car and headed out later, I'm not going to say that the rest didn't smell good, but I was the only one that didn't smell like fish. My hands were clean, and I was clean, and you didn't smell great, but you look good. You look good, but But so I don't know much about fishing, but if you go to Israel, if you've been to Israel, or you, if you're going with Pastor Greg and Bobby next month, and many of you are, you by the Sea of Galilee, they'll take you to see what they call the Jesus boat. It's very fascinating. It's a boat, it's a shell of the boat that they found that had been preserved almost 2,000 years. So it's the type of boats that they use in Jesus' day. So you get the idea of the size and everything else. It's not that big. So, okay, I don't know much about fishing, but figure this out. If there's no fish on this side of the boat, it's the same water. Like there's no fish on this side. Like it doesn't make any sense. But what did they do? They did not. They could have said, we're the fishermen. Like, we understand. And you don't go out fishing, you know, when the sun is bright in the morning. We fished at night. We're supposed to say, what did they say? Well, we didn't catch anything, but nevertheless, at your word. That's what makes a faith person. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And guess what? Didn't make any sense, but they did it, put their nets down on the other side of the boat, and they needed help. They had so many fish. I believe that you're ready for breakthrough, miracles, outpouring, abundance, and increase if you just simply do what you believe God's telling you to do. One day we're all going to stand before God and give an account. I would rather have him say, you know what? You gave more than I really asked you to. You went more. You reached more people. You had more meetings. You did more than I asked you, but well done. Come on in. I'd rather that than hear him say, you sat in the lobby and I told you to give everything in your wallet and you didn't. Like somebody said, what if it's not God? You don't lose. You don't lose. I mean, you, if you believe you're obeying God, you're obeying God. And so if it's giving and if it's going to help people and bless people, it's great. It's because faith people obey. And faith people live in expectation. And faith people receive. So when Jesus said to them, okay, I'm going to leave you, but you're going to change the world. Now, I've just got one thing to tell you, don't try yet. You go and you go in an upper room and you wait until you receive Holy Spirit. Until you receive what John the Baptist prophesied, you receive Holy Ghost and fire. Be baptized, immersed, overwhelmed, overcome. Now, if I was telling you, I want you to go and meet somebody, I would tell you when they're going to come, when you can expect them to arrive. I tell you what they're going to look like, what you can expect. I mean, otherwise, it doesn't really make any sense. Where are you going? I'm in the upper room. How long is it going to be there? I don't know. How long are you going to stay? As long as it takes. Well, how are you going to know when he comes? What's it going to be? I don't know. Well, when he came, they knew. They knew. But that's faith people. And the world was changed. And we are here today because 120 people obeyed and expected, and they received. And he says to us, you've got this power now. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's a lot of Christians who don't believe that. They're waiting for a word from God to know what to do. He's already said it. Go. I mean, two-thirds of his name is go. Like, read, God starts with G-O, go. And so we say, well, until we do what he's told us to do, he's not going to tell us anymore. We know we're supposed to go. And so here, people are going. They're going to the high schools. They're going to the Walmarts. They're going on the streets. They're doing it. They're doing it. It's amazing. And we're part of this. But I believe every one of you here today, every one of us, he's speaking to us. And some people are saying, well, you know, when it's the right time, I'm going to give. Because some is about giving, some is about going, some is about being. It's all different with every person. So nobody else can really tell you. But you know, it's in there. and it won't go away. And you say, well, it's not a good time right now. People will tell you it's not a good time to give or to go or to, if you're, whatever you're going to do for God, you should do soon. We're running out of time. This is the best time. This is the best time to give. This is the best time to obey God. This is the best time to go. It's the best time to be. And I want to pray for you right now that God will give you the courage and the boldness to simply to do what you believe God's telling you to do. Some people say, I'm so bored. You start doing what he tells you to do, you're going to have the most exciting life. Trust me. So, Father, right now, we pray for every man, woman, and young person in this place. Give us the courage that whatever you tell us to do, we will do. We will give, we will go, we will be, and we know that we never lose when we walk the faith walk. So I pray, God, you'll renew us. So we stop saying take care to each other. We've been encouraging each other to take care for too long. Now it's time to encourage each other. Go for it. Just go for it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. It doesn't make any sense, and I don't have all the details, and you never will. So I pray for God to touch you today. For that thing that's rising up inside of you. And it shall be even as God has spoken. And now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there are some of you here today, you once were a faith person and you've backslid. And you know that. And now you're thinking like the world, you're talking like the world, you're living like the world, and you don't want to be that anymore. The great thing is, it's terrible to backslide, but it's worse to stay there. You can get up and you can come back home. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've had religion. Maybe, but maybe you haven't, but you've never really known him. And you want him to live inside of you. Well, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Every person's place says, I'm not right with God, but I want to be honest today. I don't want to leave this place like this. I want to be changed. This is my day. Somebody told me at the beginning of the service that I'm going to get it, and I believe it. So right now, in Jesus' name, every person from the front to the back, from one side to the other, that says, I'm not right with God. I'm not a faith person, but I want to be. I want you to slip your hand up right now. I want to pray for you. Real quick. If you're here and you're not right with God, you're not where you should be, slip your hand up real quick. Yes. God bless you. I see those hands. There's others. How many more? Yes. God bless you. How many more? Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Everyone standing, please. And right now, I want to pray for you. So, everyone that raised your hand, I want you to come real quick. Just before we dismiss the service, you come. Let us pray together. Because you're not going out of here the same as you came. If you slip your hand up, then come. Just come real quick. From the back, from the sides, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Just come stand right here. And I want people to come and stand. Stand right down here. That's good. You can face me. You don't have to look at this. It's so scary. Come on. Bless you. Come on. There are others. Come on. If God's speaking to you and you just know you should be here, even if you don't understand anything, just come real quick. If you're watching online and you say this is exactly what I need, then you're going to pray with us right now. I want everybody to pray. If people are still coming, just come. I want some of the prayer team and ministry team to come stand behind these people, and so they know they're not here alone. They're part of a family here. They've got support. Amen. I want everyone to pray, watching online and here. Just repeat with me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I have failed you. I have sinned, but I'm sorry. Forgive me. Wash me in your blood and make me clean. I am a faith person now. I will think different. I will talk different. And I will live different. Dear Jesus, I love you. Just look right up and say, I love you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You folks that are behind them, just pour into them. You've got people here that are faith people. They're going to pray with you. They'll answer any questions. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. Remember, 6 o'clock tonight, we've got a healing service. You know people that need to come. Watching online, we'll be back at 6 o'clock right here, the same place. And I got to tell you this morning, I really pray you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. And I love you more than Putin. And most of you don't even know what that is, but it's a Canadian thing we do. It's from French Canada. And I can't say pizza because somebody else took that. So have a great week. God bless you. Amen.